This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 27th of May, 2024, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. This morning, joining me in studio is Dr. Marvin Smith, president of the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association. I want to apologize for that. I have known Dr. Smith for many years. He's a senior to me because when I first knew him, I was a junior at COB, and he was a senior man even by a few years.
I started early, you know. I was in COB from when I was like 15, 16.
That's what I said. You had like 7 years of experience on your face. And I know Dr. Smith through Facebook, where titles are less used. And so I want to just put that on the table and ensure that I keep this conversation at the level that is required for such an important topic. We're going to be discussing the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association's intersection with the compendium of cannabis legislation that is currently tabled in the House of Assembly. And we have some questions specifically about the composition of the new mechanisms the government intends to create, and then some other cannabis-related questions that I think warrant engagement from industry experts. So some of the questions that we've thrown on the table over the last few days, I will put to Dr. Smith as well. Before we get there, just some quick housekeeping notes. The HHT Family Association General Meeting is taking place this Thursday, the 30th of May, 2024, 6 p.m. at St. John's College. Among items to be discussed, the upcoming family reunion and the upcoming HHT Family Association jumble sale and breakfast sale. We will be at Hibiscus Wash House. That's Hibiscus Street and Farrington Road. Saturday, the 8th of June, 8 a.m. See you on Thursday night to learn more about the two upcoming events. I also have joining me in studio this morning, Mr. C.A. Newry. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning. I know we promised that we was going to hash out the cannabis.
Yes.
The word I used today.
Yes.
Not weed.
Good.
Right? We're going to hash out the cannabis debate, and we're going to have a series of conversations regarding cannabis and inviting guests to explain their viewpoints on it. So I'm kind of excited to have Dr. Marvin Smith. I always just call him Marvin, right? But Dr. Marvin Smith here to give his professional opinion on it, right? And to go through some intricacies that we never considered. So we can interrogate him and do a compare and contrast to what is the government said they're about to do. Mm-hmm. And how it would impact his industry and how it would impact Bahamians who are interested in performing, doing business within this industry. So this should be a good conversation.
Absolutely. The one time I wanted you to use the word weed.
Like, you weed today? You, man.
Because, I mean, we can use all kinds of language. I got new buds on my Gnep tree. See, my cannabis people. Cannabis people know what I just did. I have some new buds on my Gnep tree. I didn't think my Gnep tree was going to produce any fruit this year. Mm-hmm. After the month-long drought, I took up a strategy of watering the trees every evening, and then I was blessed. Every time I water now, it's going to rain, right? So I'm going out to water so it'll rain, and I finally got blossoms. I wanted to use that as a way to get back into the conversation, because we're talking about creating a medical marijuana or medical cannabis industry, and we're going to start the show with the question that the Prime Minister put on the table. He said we're not there yet. My question is, are we there yet? And just from the agricultural perspective, I think that's an important question to ask. Are we there yet? And is the agricultural sector prepared in terms of infrastructure, resources, human, financial, infrastructural resources? Is the agricultural sector prepared for a cannabis industry added to all of the other things that's taking place within agriculture in the country?
Interesting question. And I know we plan to streamline the conversation with pharmaceuticals, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to remind the listening audience the two options we have. And the two options we have would be medical marijuana and which one, not the recreation, what the next one for the religious people?
Sacramental.
And the sacramental marijuana. Right? The two options has been put forward. We're not going to be talking about miracle, the sacramental.
Sacramental.
Sacramental marijuana today, just the pharmaceutical one?
Well, I mean, some questions or elements of questions put to Dr. Smith or raised today in the conversation may reference the sacramental license part of the conversation, but that's not necessarily the main thrust of the conversation.
So let's start. What is medical marijuana then?
Let's ask the expert.
Okay, let's go.
Good morning.
Reintroduce yourself, Doc.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, CA. And feel free to call me Marvin. Both of y'all have known me long enough. I don't think that's going to be a big problem. Plus titles, whenever they start paying you for titles, every time you use them, then maybe I'll start to get my royalties. But it's a pleasure to be here this morning. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the platform. Good morning to the Bahamian people. So let's talk about a couple of things. The first thing is that medical cannabis is cannabis that is used for the treatment, mitigation, prevention, or alleviation of a disease, sickness, or condition. All right? It's important for us to understand that. All right? It's critical that people realize that that's the regime that the government is primarily looking to legalize. Off the top, let me say this. The Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association supports the legalization of cannabis for medical use. We wholeheartedly support it. We've been debating this now and studying it and discussing it for over a decade. And I can tell you from my time as president back in 2012, all right, when we started this conversation, to my years as a executive and then president for 5 years as the Caribbean Association of Pharmacists and bringing that to the Bahamas as a member state, and now again as president again, we have not received a single dissenting voice within the association for the legalization of medical cannabis. Not one. Everybody agrees with the science.
Okay.
So we're good with that. We've looked at the bill. I can tell you that personally for me, I have no issues with sacramental use because who am I to tell somebody how to worship? That's just me. Okay? I don't want nobody come to my church and tell me I have to do something different. So
has the Pharmaceutical Association posited a formal position on adult use, or the language the Prime Minister is currently using is recreational use for 21 plus?
No, we have not posited a view on recreational use. And here's the reason why. One, we are a professional body, all right? It's not our mandate or job to comment on social issues outside of the profession.
Okay.
All right? If we believe marijuana, weed, cannabis, whatever terms you want to use, to be a medical tool, we could no further comment on its recreational use
then we could on Vicodin or Percocet or morphine. All right? So, you know, it's that's where the line is drawn for us. We leave it up to our members for their own personal opinions as it relates to recreational or non, what I call non-medical, non-sacramental use.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I have said this in this room about 20 times over the last decade. I'm 50 years old. I've never smoked weed. I've never used marijuana in any forms, gummies, food, whatever else. That's been my choice. All right? I have friends and loved ones who I know use it. That's their choice. I don't get into knocking people for their choices because at the end of the day, we all people. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But as an association, you will not hear us make a comment on this the same way we didn't make a comment on the gambling issue because it doesn't involve the profession in terms of how we operate.
Absolutely. In the article, we're not there yet on recreational marijuana. The Prime Minister is quoted as saying, we're not there yet. The jury is still out on the impact of recreational use. Are you personally or as the association aware of any local research being conducted either by local practitioners or foreigners, foreign entities, and but any research in the Bahamas on impacts of recreational use or impacts or any type of research? So has the BPA had access to any local research that it's used to come to its determinations about these issues? And do you know if it even exists?
So the only local research, and I use the term lightly, it's more retrospective studies, all right, that I know that have been done through UNODC, which is United Nations Drug Council, the local drug secretariat here, and I've been a part of that that committee for years, where we did surveys in the schools and those sort of things, and we've gotten information on the prevalence of use. No one's ever tied that to use and health outcomes or even use and socioeconomic outcomes. That's where the link has to come, and I hope hopefully UB will look at doing that. But it's difficult. It's difficult to navigate whether the Prime Minister's comments
mm-hmm.
are from a political realm
yeah.
or from a socio-science realm, because when he says we haven't gotten there yet, who's we?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So for me, I think from our end as an association, what we are looking at is really, this is what the government has promised. It promised to bring a medical cannabis bill, all right? Keep in mind that past two administrations promised the same thing,
mm-hmm.
all right? Neither of them delivered, all right? One was in the consultation phase. The other one was at the committee and drafting phase. So this is farther than we've gotten before. And we want to commend the government for that.
Mm-hmm.
Where our issues are is the product that's been produced. It's been laid in Parliament, really provides, really creates some serious deficiencies that are a danger to the public health and safety. And we believe that that's been the result of limited consultation and selective consultation. Now, if you'll allow me to expand on that. When we met in the summer of 2023, we sat in this room at NIB, ourselves, the Pharmacy Council, Medical Council, Chamber of Commerce, Agriculture, all these different people, all right? Small Manufacturers Association, they brought everybody to the table, okay? And they had a series of meetings. And it was with the AG and the Minister of Health. They did not give us a draft of the bill. They simply gave us a presentation that outlined sort of some of the skeletons of what they wanted to do. They asked for consultation. All right. A month later, when they brought the actual draft out on the OPM's website and asked us to respond, that was September. From September to December, our association met. We discussed. We held meetings.
We brought in foreign experts on things, not just in terms of cannabis use, but things like quality assurance and laboratory standards and all these different things. And we didn't bring in no fly-by-night folk. We brought in one of the top scientists in the U.S. to do this, right? We discussed this thing, even though we already had a position on this. And we said, okay, this is what we believe. Here's how we can help them. We sent this document to the OPM's office. Okay? It lays out point by point the things we agree with and the things that we thought needed to be changed. So from day one, we wanted to partner with the government. All right? This is not just, boy, y'all get this all wrong. We sent stuff and said, you got this, these things right.
I would reword it. On day one, we were aware of our involvement, where we are a part of the conversation, and we wanted to ensure that we were there and ready whenever that part of the conversation takes
exactly
place.
Exactly correct. And then we sent this in December, and we've gotten no response since. All right? We find out that this is going to Parliament. When we get a call from the media that says the minister is tabling these things in Parliament.
Wow.
Okay? So immediately I pick up the phone and I call my colleague at the Medical Association, Dr. Gemmerill, who's the president. I said, Doc, have you gotten any feedback? She said, no. I said, do you know what's happening in Parliament now? She's as shocked as I was. Now keep in mind that the Medical Association and the Pharmacy Association, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the Nurses Association, those two are the largest comprehensive groups of experts in healthcare in the country. All right? You can't get around that any way you slice it. All right? When you're looking for the people who know what they're doing, who know what they're talking, who understand practice in this country for healthcare, you're going to find them through the Medical Association and the Pharmacy Association. We're not fly-by-night organizations, all right? Both of our organizations have been around for decades, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're not organizations that aren't new to consultation. The government, the current Pharmacy Act, the Pharmacy Association wrote that. Not the AG's office. We wrote it and took it to the AG's office, okay? So the governments are used to knowing the level of engagement that both of these associations are for. And I'm referencing both because Dr. Rule and the Medical Association have put it on the record that they have the same issues that we have, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about stakeholder engagement, it seems disingenuous at best and really sinister at worst. That you would ask us to send you stuff and then shut down the communication.
So two questions. The second one first. Is it possible that the government's experts, their own experts, told them, look, we're going to pick up a model from another jurisdiction and we're going to apply it, right? Like we're going to lay it over the Bahamas like a transparent sheet and it'll fit perfectly. And that's just not the case. Is it possible? That's what's happening.
Let's break that question down. First, who are your experts? If you have them, bring them to the table. Okay? If you have them, bring them to the table. Because I can tell you this. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? I've been in this profession almost 30 years. Okay? Mm-hmm. When we wrote the Pharmacy Act, you know what we had to do? We reviewed different acts from all over the world, not just in the Caribbean. We reviewed over 60 different countries' acts, and then about, I think it was 27 state acts. I was the chair of the committee that did this. Okay? And this was before you could just Google everything. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we printing off stuff and going by hand, working through this stuff. All right? What, you know what we found? The nature and structure of how the Bahamas is geographically set up, culturally set up, and socially set up don't fit nobody else's template. It don't, all right? And so if you're bringing a cut-and-paste thing here, that's a problem. And I'll just give you one big example of this, huge example, okay? They have a list of countries and states where you can show up with a medical card for marijuana that allows you to have a refill there And we're supposed to honor that in our pharmacies here. Here's the issue. At least a third of those countries don't speak English at all. So any official prescription or any official government document is not going to be in English. Okay? So you cut and paste this thing and bring it here. But how am I supposed to verify a prescription from Macedonia or from Finland or from Cyprus? All right? Don't tell me pick up the phone and call nobody, because Cyprus is 7.5 hours ahead. Mm-hmm. Finland is 6 hours ahead, which means when the cruise passengers show up at 2:30 in the afternoon, all right, mm-hmm. everything in Finland closed. So this cut and paste issue, if the government listened to experts, all right, they're experts in their country. Why not listen to the experts in your country?
Earlier you mentioned your association has some concerns, some risks that you think for the public health, the general public health, right? And then you indicate just now that you have concerns about the license or permits that individuals may have coming to the Bahamas and where it could be verified. But I want you to go in more detail on what's your association, what concerns regarding the public health that you have.
Exactly. So CA, the laws that we have right now are set up for public health and safety. Okay? There are general laws. Here's the first premise that we believe as an association. If you make cannabis a medicine, then it needs to be treated like a medicine. Okay?
What do we mean by that exactly?
I mean, if you're telling me that physicians and pharmacists are supposed to get together to do this thing, there are laws governing how we do stuff. All right? You shouldn't be making special laws for one thing. All right? The government has decided that they're going to move marijuana from an illegal substance to a scheduled controlled substance. That's what we call them, scheduled. They're in a schedule. Schedule one on the psychotropic substances. All right? In the same frame as LSD and ecstasy and a number of other things. That's where they've put it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have put it in Schedule 3, which is still Percocet and Vicodin and some other things, right?
Right.
But that's where they put it. Okay, fine. If you were saying that that's where you put it, then it should be governed by all the rules and laws that all these other things are governed by.
What form would the BPA recommend medicine be provided in? As pure bud or as a sort of factory produced or factory composed medicine?
So our preference has always been, that where available, pharmaceutical grade products should be used. And there's a reason for that. They're easy to understand what the potency is, what the dosage is. They've been studied through clinical trials, and so they've been approved. Okay? We're not against natural bud or whatever else. The issue for us comes into, do you recommend to somebody to smoke? And that's going to be a patient-specific issue. If I got a patient with end-stage cancer and they're just dealing with this for pain, I'm not worried about them catching lung cancer. They had end-stage cancer, okay? But do I tell a 13-year-old who has epilepsy that the form that she must take in is smoking a joint? Even if it works, because she has developing lung tissue. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So these are the decisions that need to be left up, not just to the law, but really first to the practitioners. The law should conform to health needs. Health needs shouldn't conform to the law. All right? So let's go back to this issue of why this is serious. Okay? We believe that if marijuana is going to be a controlled substance, it should be governed by the laws that govern controlled substances now. So you don't need half of the stuff that they wrote. Because we already have, by international law that we've signed on to, the International Narcotic Control Board and the Geneva Conventions, we've already signed on to this stuff. All right? And it says simply that not even a technician could dispense a controlled drug. Only a pharmacist could dispense a controlled drug. All right? Why is that critical? These drugs have high abuse or higher abuse potential.
Mm-hmm.
Right? These drugs often interact much more aggressively with other medicines, all right, because they impact our central nervous system, all right? and some of them even the peripheral nervous system, all right, which means your brain and your stomach and the rest of your body,
mm-hmm.
okay, they are heavily metabolized by our key organs, the liver and the kidneys, because people think all the stomach does digest, where the drugs are actually metabolized either liver or kidneys, okay? Critical organs again, okay? So that's why these drugs are called controlled, okay? Mm-hmm. So our issue is this. One, this act allows for these quote-unquote cannabis dispensaries, and I can call them what I think they are. They're weed shops, right? Or smokehouses. It allows for these cannabis dispensaries to dispense only medical cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
Only medical cannabis now, all right? But not by a pharmacist. Not even a technician.
Does the act, and I'm not sure if you're familiar, does it provide information about dosage? To say, well, if I'm going to this cannabis dispensary and I say I have whatever disease, right? And I said, I have this, I need some medical marijuana. Can the dispenser say, well, you need three of these taken?
No. This is the crazy part about it.
What do you mean, no?
No. What this act says is that you still have to go into one of these places with a prescription. So here's the problem you have now, right? You're saying that this is important enough that a prescription has to be issued. But it ain't important enough
that a pharmacist fills that prescription.
Now, if that makes sense on any parallel universe or the multiverse of death, y'all let me know.
Okay, quick question. Has the BPA recommended a psych consult for all patients before they are permitted to be prescribed a cannabis product?
We haven't, because that's something that I think if you look at, and this is where probably you should invite the medical association, they have a very wonderful paper on it. Those sort of things are what they speak about in terms of weighing abuse potential.
Okay.
Remember, we're the pharmacist on the back end of this person already being prescribed. What we are recommending is that we are able to monitor patients, look at how frequently they're coming back for their meds, those sort of things. The same things that we normally do with codeine and Vicodin and Percocet. If we see a patient coming back quicker than their refills suggest, we normally then make an intervention on that.
Right, because the question is the dosage insufficient? Have we incorrectly diagnosed the problem?
Or is the patient abusing it?
Yeah.
These are all things, mm-hmm. okay? And we don't just run to, they might be abusing it. We may run to the fact that it needs to be updosed because they're taking too much. Those are the things. This is what managing patients are. And what this current draft would do is it would take those patients out of the pharmacies and put them in these cannabis dispensaries where these people have no academic clinical training to manage patients. And here's the thing we have to look at, Aaron and C.A. The diseases which the government itself is approving for mm-hmm. use are not run-of-the-mill diseases. They are serious diseases where you're taking three or four other meds anyway. Nobody is using medical cannabis for these diseases as what we call monotherapy, or the single use, the single product you're going to use to treat this.
And in particular, people who would be using it for chronic pain. Chronic pain is a symptom of another condition.
Okay, so you're looking at the fact that at the end of the day, you're trying to manage the whole patient. The whole patient. And while we think the science is solid on medical cannabis, we also realize that it's still new. It's still emerging. And when you start to open this up in a medical frame, you're going to see things that you haven't seen based on just old literature, particularly when we look at the fact that the pharmacogenomic, and that sounds like a real fancy word. All that means is the way your medicines act because of your DNA, okay? And we found this to be in studies that have happening in other disease states and other medicines, that Caribbean people have a different genomic makeup,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, we did a study right here with our own two doctors where we talked about the BRCA gene for breast cancer, and we see that there's high incidence here as compared to our African-American brothers and sisters. Okay? Mm-hmm. So all of these things have to come into play.
Wait 1 minute, Aaron.
Go on.
I'm thinking about weed as medicine again, right? Mm. Apparently there's tea.
Yes.
Apparently you can smoke it, and apparently it can come in a capsule or
you
whatever.
You can vape it.
Gummies, oil.
I want to know which one is going to be adopted in the Bahamas. Is this going to be a smoking jurisdiction where persons with ailments will first seek to consume it through smoking, vaping, or this is going to be something like you get a pill or medication type thing?
I think all options have to be on the table. And again, it has to be measured on the benefit to the patient. Personally, for me, if there's another option to give my patient, rather than actually smoking superheated vapor in their lungs, I'm going to suggest that.
And most people, most doctors do, right?
Right. Now, you could use vape with cold air, compressed air. I mean, we do it now with asthma inhalers. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, inhalers are old school vapors. That's what they are, all right? Mm-hmm. So there's ways to do that kind of stuff.
In terms of potential interactions with medicines, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you heard about an Ozempic pregnancy?
No, but go ahead.
No.
All right, so Ozempic is a diabetes medication.
The diabetes drug that people are using for weight loss.
Right, people are using because it creates an environment where people are losing a lot of weight.
Me and CA can start that next month.
So there's some research going on because women who never conceived, pun intended, that they could get pregnant mm-hmm. or get pregnant again are having babies. In particular, a 50-plus-year-old woman came up pregnant. I would say she had a Mary experience, and they've determined that Ozempic, the way that it interacts with the birth control, several birth control applications, it diminishes the potency or the efficacy of the birth control.
And this is what we see when we approve new therapies. We know what in the clinical trials, they pick who they get these clinical trials with. But when you put it in the real world, anything, and that's why it's critical to have pharmacists managing patients on medical cannabis.
Okay, we got to go to a break. When we come back from the break, Mr. Yu, I'm going to ask Dr. Smith if he's aware of any local trials and anybody looking for volunteers to test cannabis products for the sake of...
Oh, sick? People, sick people?
For the sake of the integrity of the system, Mr. Nuri.
But sick people is medical.
I mean, okay then. People who have conditions that can be treated with cannabis.
But they had to bring a doctor slip.
Yeah, okay. And bring your doctor's slip.
Okay.
Absolutely. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. If you've got any questions to ask, the text line 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. Numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island residents. It's toll-free, so feel free to call in. You're on the clock. We're going to be right back after this quick break.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning. Welcome back. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Dr. Smith, we have some phone calls coming in. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good morning to your guests.
Morning.
Um, I have a couple of questions for your guest, Mr. Green, please, Mom. But I just want to make a statement. I mean, to me, it's kind of angering to hear the whole debate about the marijuana issue. It seems as if the main concern is just that everyone is looking at it as an additional revenue stream. You know, and your guest spoke about stakeholders, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel as if the greatest stakeholders are the public. That's the greatest stakeholders. And I feel as if what the government needs to do and what the public needs to do is demand a referendum on this matter. That's what we need. You know what I mean? Because we are the greatest stakeholders in this, all right? My question is, with the verifying of the cards, the medical cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that there's some kind of official, I think that he said something, international official board or something, right? Can they have an international official database? Whereas individuals who is responsible for verifying these cards from all over the world, right? They could just go online and go into an international database and see if this card that the person has is matching up in the database, right? Because I feel as if time zones is a flimsy excuse, and I think I feel as if that is a very small obstacle overcome.
Give me a second. I don't think that the doctor offered that as an excuse. He was just explaining the landscape. In fact, when we read the article, Pharmacy Sector at Odds Over Medical Marijuana, Dr. Roll, president of the Medical Association, she also indicates that there is no international database of licensed dispensaries and their patients, right? And so, I mean, you're then going to have to rely on a WHO, right, adopting a protocol requiring all countries to participate in an international database.
Right.
Right.
So if I can answer the caller, all right, and I understand your concern, but here's the issue you have. All right. Keep in mind that as of today, cannabis is federally illegal in the United States.
In some states.
No.
Federal
government. Okay. I understand. Okay, I'm listening to you.
Federal law dictates health information. HIPAA is a federal law. So no matter what states do inside their state, once they move outside of their state, they're governed by federal law. So HIPAA says you cannot put out the health information of patients without their full consent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay, so...
Hold on, let me finish. All right? So the problem you have is that in the state of Colorado, where cannabis legally is available both medically and recreationally, and you can get a medical card, that's fine. That medical card is null and void once you move across state lines, unless one state has an agreement with the other state. And even if they move it across state lines, it still has to mean that you have to set up an entirely different information database in that other state, because HIPAA prevents Colorado, the state, from giving Arizona, the state, your information. That's basic.
Okay,
hold on, man. You asked me a question, let me answer it, all right? If from state to state they can't give the information, all right, then you know they can't give it outside of the federal government, all right? So when you have somebody come off a cruise ship with a medical cannabis card from Colorado, all right, the fact of the matter is, unless the government of the Bahamas goes through their legal process, and I don't know how they can do it, how they can get around federal law,
mm-hmm.
right? And says, we have an agreement where we will exchange health information with the state of Colorado, right? The state of Colorado is not going to have anything that verifies that card in Nassau, Bahamas, okay? So now take that and extrapolate that across Europe, right? Where if you've been to Europe, their privacy laws are so strict that when you log on to the internet, you get a message to say, hey, you want your information out or not? When you go into places, they tell you you can't take pictures, you can't do none of this stuff for nobody else because their privacy laws are so tight. Almost all of the countries that they have there are based in Europe. How they can get the information? How do we verify that? So we're not talking about something that is a maybe or a hypothetical. All right, these are actual real life critical issues to the point that even in this country,
if you go to PMH today and you decide to go to doctors tomorrow and your doctor who works at PMH also works at doctors, they cannot take your patient information from PMH and carry it to doctors, even though they have offices in both, without you giving them specific approval. That's how strict health information is.
Can I speak now, please, sir?
You got 30 seconds. I get some other calls.
All right, but sir, the whole point of the matter just now is that you mean you said all that, but then again you said that it's just a matter of people organizing and agreeing. And Clark, and if I'm an individual with a marijuana card, right, and I expect it to be honored when I travel somewhere else, right, of course I would have to agree to put it in the system that I have a medical marijuana card. You know what I mean? So that to me, sir, it's not up to the
patient.
That can be achieved, just a matter of reasoning together and saying yes and getting the individuals to give their consent. That's all it is right there. But, sir, what I want to ask is this.
You can put the question on the table, and then I got to move on to another caller.
Oh, yes, I had so much to say, but the gentleman took us so much time. But, sir, what category is alcohol in? You know, see, when you talk about the different categories of drugs, seeing that you're a medical expert, sir, and you know the effects that drugs and things do to people, and alcohol can kill.
I got you, caller. Okay, so, Doc, let me rephrase the question.
If the
Pharmacology Association were to categorize alcohol in the schedule, where would it be placed, given our understanding?
It's a straw man question. Okay, it's the how often do you beat your wife? It assumes certain things.
She let me, because chess is a hard game.
Listen, and this is what the caller's missing. Okay,
mm-hmm.
If he thinks he's looking at it like I can get a medical card and do whatever, right, buddy? They ain't writing this law for you. If you look at this act is written to compensate and to cater to visitors. It has nothing to do with you.
Let's stick a pin right there. I can write the words down. Remember the conversation you witnessed this weekend where the woman was saying she's just starving for the Bahamas, the pre-independence Bahamas. Like, she just wish we could get back to a pre-independence the Bahamas. Yeah. And then when people said to her, ma'am, you know, like, moderate your tone, you're just a visitor. And she said to me personally that she's not just a visitor. I said, I wanted to tell her, look at your passport. Ma'am, we can get back to that. Let's go to the phone.
Let me ask Dr. Smith this one question, right? Okay. Dr. Smith, you mentioned that the Bahamas may have to negotiate with state to state in order to have their medical card be accepted, and not necessarily with the federal government of the United States, just using the United States as
okay.
that. I want you to re-explain that.
And let me tell you how absolutely asinine that proposal is. You have individual states that wanted to allow people to go to Mexico and wanted to buy stuff from Mexico and bring it in because they were getting it for cheaper, or Canada and bringing it in. But the federal law of the United States says every product that is dispensed in the U.S. and imported in and sold in the U.S. should be made in the U.S. And so you have states that couldn't even do that with Canada, all right? And that's with basic meds. That's not going to happen. CA, it's not going to happen.
That's why you had 60 Minutes ran stories of the elderly white smugglers, senior citizens who had to smuggle the medication they could afford over the borders. Good morning, caller. Good morning.
Hello, can you hear me?
Good morning, I can hear you.
Okay, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. And that's Mr. Smith?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Smith, tell me something. Like, how you get doctors and stuff. I say pharmacists. Any name in the front of the pharmacist's name, like?
Right, he's a doctor.
Could he consider you just like a doctor?
He has a doctorate in pharmaceutical studies.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's good to know. I wanted to find out, like, the bottom line is that I think I hear you. First, I must say I'm learning a lot, and it's a good show. I think I hear you answer before, but for us who didn't really understand you or didn't get to hear you, right, the bottom line is this thing with the government doing, if they decide to don't listen to what the association saying, who you're representing, and go ahead and implement this, how far are you ready to go? Could we expect maybe court? Can we expect court? How far are you ready to go with this? And one last thing, when you say that, just to show how asinine this proposal is, what
you
proposal
say,
is
you
that exactly? Which one you mean? Because there's a couple of proposals we're talking about. You mean what the government proposing, the way are they proposing it?
No.
I'll hang up and listen.
Let's be clear.
Thank you, Papa.
I was referring to the assertion by the caller that people could simply waiver their information out. It doesn't work that way. All right? Let's talk about this. We are, and I'm glad that people are saying that they're getting educated. Our whole point is to get out there and put the information out there. We want people to understand the real dangers of how this is set up. 90% of what the government has tabled is great. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 90%. But there's that last 10% that is critical in terms of how we get this, in terms of public safety. And so we have, as an association, what we're trying to do is, and when we plan on doing this week, we're going to write the Prime Minister. The Act's already in Parliament, so we done gone past the Minister now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's in Parliament. The only person that could put brakes on that is the government leader of government business in the House, and that has to be directed by the Prime Minister. So we intend to ask the Prime Minister for a meeting, write him formally in terms of these concerns. All right? And we expect that the Prime Minister, being a reasonable and sensible man, we know him to be that, okay? He did this before when he had the interview in the price control, all right? Rein his minister is in and say, look, I'm the Prime Minister. The buck stops with me. We're going to get this right. And sit down with us and the Medical Association, and let's get a bill to Parliament that actually gives the government fruition on the promise that they said.
So, Aaron, we have a two-hour show today, right? We have Dr. Marvin Smith with us, and we after this ends at 11 o'clock, we'll continue. At 10 o'clock, we'll continue the conversation until up to 12 o'clock. I just know that it's now.
Yes, time for that break.
Time for that break, right?
And I get plenty questions.
And I see a number of callers online, too.
Yes.
So, but know that Mr. Smith is with us for the next hour also. So you can still call in and pose your questions with him.
And we have some texts with questions for you, sir.
No problem.
Okay. So let's end this part and then restart again.
Okay. Producer, play UFO or Granny Fly-In. Or Ed Moxie Bejarina. Because I sure Ed Moxie was smoking the Bejarina when he made this song. And I mean, it's not a slur.
Granny Flying is one of my fraternity brothers in Atlanta's favorite songs.
Yeah.
And they ain't under behemoth. So.
They got that Gullah Geechee culture. He got a Grammy just like
love,
that.
They love that song.
Where he's from.
I don't think you know what it means, but they love it.
Absolutely. When we get back from this break, we're going to return to the conversation about when you use the word visitors. We know what you mean by visitors. Let's get back to the risks and issues that arise, that potentially arise with this legislative regime.
And I want to talk about the production of medical marijuana here. Will it be done locally, or can we import foreign weed and then have the pharmacies and whoever depot sell it?
You ever try to take an apple to the U.S.? Like a raw apple. You can't just...
Right, that's what I want to talk about.
You can't just
what the government can
export
do?
Dandelion and shepherd needle and things like that.
So this can be done locally here?
Export and well, the question is, do we have the capacity? Producer, when are you ready?
What the Prime Minister say? We're not ready?
You know, the little room with the little child in the car say, speak for yourself, daddy.
Mm.
Speak for yourself. Yes. You've been on the clock when we get back from this break. Guardian Radio AM with CA News is going to take the helm, continue this conversation with one of the key stakeholders in the conversation on the liberalization of cannabis in the Bahamas. We'll be right back.
Nobody knows. It's so strong it shoots through the sky.
Like the UFO.
What's this?